Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton. I'm flying solo today. Eric Nahlin, who is normally here with us for the state of the program, is traveling today. So I have got a few topics I want to hit that I think would be of interest to Texas sports fans. And then we'll go from there. Yesterday, Steve Sarkisian met with the media talked about a variety of topics, but a couple I want to get to. Number one, first and foremost, and I think maybe or perhaps the most important piece of the team is the quarterback battle right now. Sarkisian talked about the Saturday scrimmage, and while he declined to name a winner on Saturday's scrimmage between either Hudson Carter, Quinn Ewers, or the offense versus the defense, he did note that both quarterbacks completed more than 70% of their passes on Saturday with no turnovers. It was interesting because then he immediately, this was on Tuesday, immediately compared that to Tuesday afternoon, or Tuesday morning's practice, and said that the defense did create some turnovers, and he thought that they had actually improved learning some of the stuff week over week. As it relates to the quarterback in particular, Coach Sarkisian also talked about Quinn Ewers at one point in the media volley, so to speak. He said that Ewers is one of those rare guys that can create throws from different arm angles, different touch. The commentary came off of a question that was posed. You know, Quinn Ewers has a cannon. How do you make him into being a quarterback and kind of harnessing that ability as a quarterback in that cannon? Sarkisian's take was really interesting to me. He basically said that Ewers already is more of a passer than he is a thrower. He said he felt like it was rare when Quinn really showed off the arm. He didn't. He thought as a coach that Quinn might show it off more than he does. But really, he's already throwing with different arm angles, with different levels of touch, and to different spots on the field. And I thought it was a rare insight from Sarkisian in that he already sees not only Ewers potentially keep taking care of the ball better, like he mentioned on Saturday's scrimmage, as well as Card. He compared it to a year ago when the scrimmages in the offense had entirely too many turnovers during the spring ball that featured both Hudson Card and Casey Thompson. But he not only said that about Ewers, that he and Card are both taking care of the ball better, but also that he sees some things that are more instinctive and natural to Ewers than he typically sees among most quarterbacks. It sounds to me from listening to the interview that it's still a quarterback battle, though. There is no clear-cut winner right now. They're both taking their turns and getting their shots in as the QB1. And Steve Sarkisian seems willing to let this go for as long as it needs to. And, you know, as a analyst, somebody that follows the team for a living, I truly don't see the downfall in that unless one player was unequivocally beating the other out, hands down. And it doesn't sound like that's what's happening, even if there is separation on a practice-by-practice basis. It's not a consistent separation, at least not at this point as we're into the fourth week of spring ball. Sark also hit on the other quarterbacks in the room, not just the battle for one and two, but the battle for number three as well. He spent some time talking about Malik Murphy and said that Malik has a lot of tools, But it's still early in his process. He is looking for more, he said, from the other quarterbacks, and that includes Charles Wright, the only other scholarship quarterback, Ben Ballard and Cole Lord, also quarterbacking the Longhorns. Moving on, I wanted to talk about the running back room. Of the things that I heard yesterday, I think he was probably most glowing about Bijan Robinson and the running back room. And he made an important, and Coach Sarkisian, I feel, made a important point. He said, none of these guys are single faceted. So they're more versatile. One through five, he thinks they can run between the tackles, they can run outside, and they can catch the ball. All five of them, he said. So that he didn't just mention, he wasn't just talking about Bijan Robinson. He was also talking about Roschon Johnson, Jaden Blue, Jonathan Brooks, and Keelan Robinson. That, he said, allows him to game plan a little bit differently. He was asked directly if he had any particular plans to get Bijan more touches this season. And Sark said, without giving away his game plan, that was his quote, he does see ways to get Bijan more touches. He talked about the variety of matchups he can create because Bijan is so versatile. He said he's a natural route runner, not only a natural pass catcher, which is surprising. Also, he can run. He's got that speed as well as power, and he has a one-cut vertical acceleration that is somewhat rare. So of all the spots that I heard him talk about yesterday, I would say running back was the most positive. I thought it was interesting hearing him, what he had to say about Quinn Ewers on the offensive side of the ball as well. I want to mention briefly a little bit of a brouhaha about with Moro Ojomo yesterday. Sarkisian, after Moro's interview last week with reporters, was very frank and forthright. I thought it was one of the best interviews I've heard a player give in quite a while, honest and open. At the same time, Moro did name a couple of names in that interview, and probably because of that, Sarkisian wanted to make sure things were cleaned up. Personally, I have no problem with what the coach said or with what Moro Ojomo said. And I think if anybody does, I think they're fooling themselves into that this is something, because there's absolutely nothing there. Furthermore, if you actually listen to it, Steve Sarkisian didn't chastise or diminish or demean Moro Ojomo's right to speak. He said, basically, say it, just say it to the right people. And so I feel like I don't want to say it's a complete nothing, because it was made into something, but Moro Ojomo spoke his mind and spoke freely last week. And I think it was a positive overall about how a good insight to what fans can appreciate. At the same time, Steve Sarkisian has to look out for everybody on the team, including those not necessarily towing the line and or those that need to improve and or are improving. He said, and I like this quote, he said, mow your own lawn first. Make sure that's mowed first. And not that Moro Ojomo does not, but that's got to be in place before other things happen to contribute to that. Long story short, Moro Ojomo's in good standing with the team, just probably won't be meeting with the media anytime soon, according to Steve Sarkisian. And I do not think it was in any sort of big deal or lack of holding people accountable or whatever some people tried to make it into on Twitter and elsewhere. It really was a big nothing. Next piece that I thought I like what Coach Sarkisian had to say had to do with the secondary. Coach Sarkisian really looks at, he said he's looking right now at a variety of defensive backfield pieces, but he really talked about safety at length. He keeps mentioning Anthony Cook almost the first name out of his mouth. And the reason he's doing that, he says, is because he's played a lot of football. He feels a confidence back there. He feels an understanding of what's going on. Frankly, he just feels like he's comfortable. The other piece of the safety play is a little bit different in that there is no incumbent or no returning true starter. He mentioned Keaton Crawford. That was the next name that he mentioned. And he says he looks better at safety than he does it ever did at corner to him. and he's lining up, he's covering tight ends and running backs instead of wide receivers. At the same time, he likes to be physical. Keaton likes to be physical. And so that seems to be a perfect fit for him. At the same time, he did not do so much as name Keaton Crawford a starter or anything like that. He also mentioned a couple of guys. J.D. Coffey said he liked his physicality. He thought that B.J. Allen and Larry Turner Gooden, for their age, are showing some natural instincts. They're both true freshmen, obviously, that are mid-year enrollees. And he said Maurice Blackwell may be the most natural tackler on the team, which is interesting. He's a former linebacker converted to safety, but he's still working on the deep field, handling the deep field responsibilities of a safety. The one player he didn't mention that I thought was intriguing is Jaron Thompson. Now, Sark, to his credit, said I may be forgetting someone, but at the same time, he didn't mention Jaron Thompson. Thompson, many people penciled in as a potential starter likely starter at safety after seeing some time his first year, 2 years in Austin at the position. He has transferred almost full time, it seems, to the nickel role at this point, and is fighting Jahde Barron for that starting role. Now, if Barron beats out Thompson, which I expect Barron to be the starting nickel, if that's the route he plans to go, what does that do to Thompson? Does that kick Thompson back to safety in place of either Anthony Cook or Keaton Crawford or you know, something else? Or does Jahde Barron go over to corner? That, and then what is the waterfall effect from that? So what happens if Jahde Barron's a starter, then is Deshaun Jameson a three-year starter not back? Or is it Ryan Watts who is still looking? And I don't know that we have the answers to that right now. I think that they're still trying to figure that out as a defensive staff. I did write in today at Inside Texas that one of the things that I am hearing from inside DKR is that they are looking for their defensive secondary, particularly those on the outside, to be better tacklers and be more of a force in the run game. If that is the case and true, like I believe it is, that could mean some other jockeying at cornerback that we're not even aware of at this point. I do hear Terrence Brooks, the true freshman mid-year enrollee, from DFW area, is coming on quite a bit. Will he take somebody else's place, or is he just in that too deep? And that too deep discussion leads me to the next point that Coach Sarkisian made. He was asked specifically if he's just looking for the starting 22 and get those guys solid out there. And it was made in the context, the question was posed in the context also of how many scholarships he had available left for the portal at the same time. And so while Steve Sarkisian was decidedly non-committal on portal numbers, like he did not say 1, 2, 3, 10. He didn't give anybody any number or any inkling. He just said, we have a pretty good idea. That's a quote. We have a pretty good idea of what we want. But what will that ultimately mean? Excuse me. Stepping over my own words there. There's no clear way to say this other than Texas is taking it as it comes. We've mentioned Texas is interested in Adarius Mims, the offensive lineman out of Georgia. That was one of the top 25 recruits in the country last year. Ajay Hall, the wide receiver out of Alabama, was one of the top receivers in the country last year. Those are all one-off type deals right now. They're not planned offers or planned guys that Texas thought they were going to get in on, but they're so good maybe that you have to take a look. And that's kind of what Sark is talking about when he mentioned this next piece. And that's that he's not just looking for 22 players. He's really looking for 22 on each side of the ball. So he's looking for not just one deep, but two deep. He mentioned this again, and he said it about a month ago. He didn't realize how much losing Jacoby Jones at the time hurt his team's run defense. He said the same about Denzel Okafor in the run game as an offensive lineman and how much that affected them. And then furthermore, Jordan Whittington and losing him for part of the season as a receiver. That's his issue right now, as he's noticed just how much that drop affected the Longhorns' outcomes last season. And so his goal isn't to just try to find the first 11 right now. It's to find the first 22 and build depth. And I don't think any of us would disagree with that. And really put it out there, I feel like it's a smart thing to build depth through the transfer portal, through recruiting. One of the things I continue to see in recruiting right now is they are, and we talked about this last year, they're not taking that step down. If they think that you're a guy that can help them, they will offer you, but they're not willing to stretch for offers. At the same time, recruiting is still, it feels like it's still going at the pace that they've made it go at, which is a deliberate one. The Aggies picked up a big commitment, two commitments this week that Texas had offered. Bravion Rogers out of LaGrange, Texas had a shot there, but the Aggies continue their momentum. Tyler White, the punter out of South Lake Carroll, is committed to Texas A&M as well. He had an offer from Texas and contemplated that. Aggie's going to give him a shot to play baseball too. So I don't think Texas had really spoken to him about that. His Tyler White's brother, I believe, is going to Arkansas on a baseball scholarship. And Tyler himself is a pretty good player. But I say all of that because recruiting matters in this. As you build depth, the portal matters. And that's how Texas is approaching it at this time. Last thing I want to touch on probably for today, and it's something that Harrison Chu has done a couple of videos on now. One was the wide receivers coach, and the other was the running backs coach. Wide receivers being held are manned by Brennan Marion, and the running backs by Tashard Choice. Coach Sark was pretty clear. He really stepped out there with Tashard Choice, said he brings energy every single day on every single topic. He is one of those guys that he just really hasn't seen a guy that is as.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Geared up to go. He said the running backs are finishing runs, quote, like I've never seen before, like I haven't seen before. And, you know, that not only speaks to Coach Choice, I also, again, I relay that back to something we said that I mentioned earlier as it relates to the running back room as a whole. The room as a whole is adults. All right, they're led by adults. Bijan Robinson and Roshan Johnson are adults, period. They are leaning in, apparently, to what Tashard Choice is saying and doing. And that only gives, that's only going to build that room for the future. That's only going to make Jonathan Brooks better, Keelan Robinson better, Jaden Blue better. So I think that was a big hire. The other one was Brennan Marion. And what he mentioned about Brennan Marion, the first word out of his mouth was actually, he's a technician. That was something that he felt was very interesting. He says, when they get on the grass, he's teaching from the very first minute. And really goes through the whole thing. And he also feels like Brennan Marion is good at building camaraderie within that group. Sark also saying, something that we pointed to at the time, and I'm not sure that Sark admitted to, but part of what he wanted to do and accomplish with those two hires this offseason was getting not necessarily younger, but younger energy in the coaching staff. And both of those guys, young-ish coaches they've certainly played the part. Both of them have seen time at the highest level of football and have been coaches for a number of years. But whenever you get that young enthusiasm, I don't even want to say young, just enthusiasm, it can permeate through other aspects of the team, as well as that position room, because at the end of the day, you are trying to connect with teenagers, and teenagers often are drawn to enthusiasm, not necessarily, dry coaching or teaching. You know, overall, I think Texas is going into this is the fourth week. The quarterback battle sounds to me like it's going kind of as planned. Quinn Ewers is showing glimpses, if not a little bit more sustained glimpses than maybe some had anticipated this early. At the same time, Hudson Card is not being a pushover. He's not, you know, making this a layup by any stretch. That's what you want to see. To Sark's point, you want to see 70%+ completion rate, as well as some big plays, which Sark was really happy about on Saturday. Overall, though, there are still some issues on the team. Sark said he didn't feel like the team could run the ball they wanted to on Saturday. And that's a problem. They have one big run all day on Saturday, and that came near the end of scrimmage. He feels like his offensive line could probably get better at doing that simply because it's not like he's not scheming it to take advantage of that. At the same time, he feels like the defense needs to push more on creating turnovers. That's one of the reasons why he was happy about Tuesday's practice performance. All in all, things going as planned at quarterback. At wide receiver, Isaiah Nayor has, at least recently, been running with the ones over Marcus Washington. Not something we didn't expect 3 weeks ago, but remember, Isaiah Nayor started off, I believe, third or fourth string. So he's there. Jatavion Sanders is the number one tight end at this point, although Gunnar Helm and Jaleel Billingsley are also playing a role. Hayden Connor has stepped in at right guard, as we expected at the outset of spring. So the offensive line is kind of how we thought it would be heading into spring. On the defensive side of the ball, really there's been no changes up front other than tweaking of a defensive front. We've chronicled that here over the last couple of weeks. They're going with more three down fronts that utilize more defensive tackles across the board. Baron Sorrell at defensive end has been a pleasant surprise, but may not be all the way there yet to being an every down player for Texas. And then furthermore on defense, Jalen Ford and DeMarvian Overshown continue to be the starters with David Benda most likely being the very next backup there. Additionally, we went over the secondary just now. I don't know what the secondary eventually will look like, but it sounds like Texas is really trying to get more speed on the field. And I think they need to, and I think that's probably a good thing. That's the report of what I'm hearing right now on the 40 acres, what Steve Sarkisian said yesterday in his press conference. I will be back tomorrow. Programming note, I'll be back tomorrow with Ian Boyd. We're going to talk some X's and O's. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the quarterback position as well as some other spots on the field and what really we think Coach Sark might be up to on offense this off season. So thanks for listening to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, and we appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.